I'd like to give a welcome to everybody that's here. It's very nice to see you all. And I hope that this meeting is of benefit to you. None of me, Michael, or Ian will ever claim to be good at this. And far from the best, for sure. But all of us know that in a simple way, we can hopefully be used by God, even if we're not very good at talking and we're not very good at speaking and we're a long ways from perfect. And we just trust that the things that we try and share tonight will be of benefit to you. But before we open and turn to a passage in the Word of God, we're just going to pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for the Savior. We're thankful for His death on the cross. We know that if it weren't for His death, we could never sing praises. We could never give any sort of praises to You. But even this song we sang of how simple salvation is, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that it could not have ever been even possible to be right with God if it hadn't been for what Christ did on the cross. So we give thanks for what He did. We're thankful that You give us this chance to accept Him and trust Him for dying for our sins. And we just ask that You would give all three of us help as we try and share this message. Pray for clarity and pray for peace as we share it. We just leave these things in Your hands. Pray for all in the meeting tonight that they would know Your Son and what He did for them. In Your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I've been reading, just the last few Sunday mornings, I've been reading each of the different Gospels' account of the cross. I find it's interesting to see the different ways they tell the story and the different details you get in each. And a few weeks ago was when I started. I just read Luke this morning, but I read Matthew a few weeks ago, and Matthew seems to give a few details about a man, and I've been thinking about that man, and then I started thinking of another and another, and I have three men I want to talk about. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 26. And I'm hoping that I can get across a couple of elements of the gospel as a result of these men's stories. And I actually have some notes here to help me, so I better pull them up. So, the first man I'm thinking of is Judas. And I just spoke at the villa, and my whole message was about Judas. But I see Judas. He was a long way from perfect, and sometimes we look down on him quite a bit. Judas got one thing right, if you can say that. He just didn't get it all right. And I want to think about him for a second. So, I didn't write down the verse I want to start with. That was wise. Matthew chapter 26, and really, the whole chapter has stories. In verse 6, it tells a story of this woman. You guys know the story. She had an expensive box of ointment. She broke it. She anointed Jesus. It was quite valuable, and this upset Judas. So in verse 14, it says, Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said to them, What will you give me if I deliver him unto you? So he was friends with Jesus. He was one of the disciples. He had access to Jesus, and he saw that as a way to make money. And it's right, based on this, why so many people give Judas a hard time. He really was not a good man, but Judas, he delivered Jesus. So in verse 15, it says, And they covenanted, or they made a deal with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So then, we just to get the whole story, we have the Last Supper, and in verse 20, we'll say, "And now when even was come, he sat down with the 12. And when they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." So this is about Judas. He hadn't been revealed yet, but it had been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Jesus, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And then the next we read about Judas is in the next chapter. That is Matthew 27 and verse 3. Well, actually, no, that's not the next we read about him, but that's where I... Verse 47, sorry, of 26. I apologize for this. I should have written down these verses. So they're at the garden. Jesus is praying. And then it says, And while he spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. So Judas, in simple words, Judas said, The man I kiss, that's going to be the man that you want to grab. Because maybe not all of them knew what Jesus looked like. So Judas, the story is told, he walks into this garden. He walks up to Jesus. He greets him, likely as he often had. He walked up and he gave him a kiss. And these men grabbed Jesus, and there's a story associated with that, but that's not where I'm wanting to go. Then we'll go to chapter 27, verse 3. So we have Judas. He was with Jesus. He was upset about the money that he thought had been wasted by this woman who broke the ointment. And he delivered Jesus to the people. He betrayed him with a kiss. And then in chapter 27, verse 3, Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. One more verse. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. This is the sad story of Judas. And I want to pull one thing from Judas. So, Judas, I feel that he had a lack of foresight, if anything, but that's not what my message is on. He had a lack of looking ahead. We can see that in how he betrayed Jesus. We can see that in how his life was ended. He didn't look ahead. He didn't think of consequences. But the one thing I want to get from Judas here is that he realized that he did wrong. He realized he was a sinner, and it says more than that, he repented himself. So often we preach of repentance as one of the elements of salvation. You need to realize that you're in the wrong. You need to turn. And Judas did that much. But Judas wasn't saved. We know based on that verse we read, it's better that he had never been born. And there's only one place he could be if that statement is true, and that's down here, in a place called hell. We know that's a place where sins are judged, but they're never paid for. So we know that Judas acknowledged his sins. And Judas, once he acknowledged his sins, where did he turn? So it says he repented himself. He took that money. He was doing what he thought was right in his mind, and he turned to religion. He turned to the chief priests and the elders. He said, I've done wrong. I don't know what he thought they'd say. They said, What's that to us? We can't do anything for you. So I want you to think about Judas for a minute. I want you to think of repentance. And I want, this is the one thing Judas got right. He was a sinner, and he realized it. And I just want to present that idea with you guys tonight. Has anybody here ever acknowledged that they're a sinner? Have they ever looked inside and realized that they have done wrong? I probably quote this every time I speak, but Romans tells us that there's none good. There's none that are righteous. And based on that, there's none that are eligible to enter heaven. There's none that can get there by themselves because there's none good. There's none that are righteous. So, Judas realized that much. He realized he was a sinner. And he realized that he repented. He turned, but that's all he did. And Judas had a sad end. I want to read a little further now. In Matthew 27, verse 54, I want to think of another man. So Judas was the first man. So we know what had happened. You guys have probably all heard the events of the cross. Jesus was nailed after people did their worst to them. They spit on him. They mocked him. Really, it was embarrassing. It was completely unjust. And that's not even mentioning the pain he went through. But after all that was through, we know that there was 3 hours of darkness. We're right here. We'll read about it. Actually, Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard this said, this man calls out for Elias. And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge and filled it with vinegar. And they put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He gave up his life. And behold, the veil of the temple, that's the area that separated between man and God, that veil, that was its job. There was only one person that could go in there. It says that veil in the temple was rent in twain. It was ripped in two from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of saints which slept, which were dead, arose, and came out of their graves after his resurrection, and went on to the holy city, and appeared unto many. This is the man I want to think about in verse 54. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And here I want to try and bring another element of the gospel out because we see Jesus, he acknowledged his sins, but he wasn't saved. Now, I'm not going to say that this man wasn't saved. I'd really like to think this man was saved. But for the purpose of application, we never... This man here, he acknowledged Jesus, didn't he? He acknowledged that he was the Son of God, and Jews... And those type of people, I guess this man was probably a Roman, but God was held in a very high place. They probably held him more as Lord than we do. In some ways. And this man said, God is real. And this man right here, there's no doubt in my mind, this was the Son of God. If that's all he ever acknowledged, he wasn't saved. It's an element. It's something we all have to face if we want to be saved. But he wasn't saved. And I was thinking how we can't just take pieces. That was kind of my point. These two men prove that. You can't just take pieces of what you want to believe and what you don't. You know, if I went and looked at a car and I took Daryl with me, I trust Daryl, he's got a good opinion. He knows cars well, and if Daryl looked the car over and said, yeah, it looks good, the engine's good, but it's got rust underneath. You can't see it, but it has rust underneath. And if I looked at the car myself and said, yeah, it looks pretty good, I think I'm going to buy it. And I took it to get inspected, and it wouldn't pass. I'm at fault because I didn't listen to everything Daryl said. And really, we've been given this Bible. We've been given a way to prepare. And we can't just pick the pieces we want because it's going to end in disaster if we do that. You have to listen to the whole thing. So, we see Judas. He only took pieces. He repented, but he wasn't saved. This centurion, if this is all he ever did, if he only acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God, he wasn't saved. Now, I'd like to think that he did acknowledge his sin, and I hope he did. But I want to think of the third man. This is the last man I want to speak of, and I'm really taking more time than I was supposed to, but I'm sure these two will be happy. The last man I want to think of is in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 43. We'll just go back a little bit. We'll start in 38, actually. There were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself. Verse 41, likewise, the chief priests also mocking him with the scribes and elders. The religious people were mocking Jesus. Verse 42, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. They didn't know he was there to die for their sins. Verse 44, the thieves also, both thieves, doesn't say the thief, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now this is where I like the different gospels, because if that was all, if Matthew was the only account of the cross, we wouldn't have this, but we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 23. Because there, both thieves are making fun of Jesus. But in Matthew, in Luke chapter 23, we get more details. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. So, in Matthew, we have both of the thieves making fun of Jesus. But in verse 39, the story continues. Then, one of the malefactors, one of the thieves that was hanging, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other thief, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Think about that for a second. We deserve what's happening to us. If that's not an acknowledgement of sin, I don't know what is. That thief was there. He was being nailed to the cross, and he said, I've sinned, and I'm being punished for it, and I deserve it. But he looks at Jesus. This man, in verse 41 again, has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Sometimes you get so happy that you get emotional, and that's really one of those moments. You see one who's dying for his own sin. And he acknowledges it. He said, I deserve this. And then he looks at his friend. He says that to his friend. Then he changes his focus to the one that's beside his friend. Between the two of them, he says, Lord. Again, there's something I want to bring out there. Lord is really crowning something. It's the most important. And this man didn't really have much else to focus on. Maybe it was easy for him because the end was near. He wasn't thinking about friends. He wasn't thinking about pride. He wasn't thinking about anything. There was one thing in his life that was more important than anything else, and that was what's going to come after death. What is my end going to be? But he didn't trust in himself. He acknowledged his sin. He didn't trust in himself. He didn't trust in religion. He didn't trust in hope. He trusted in the one that was beside him. He said, this man doesn't deserve to be here. This man, he believed he was God's son too, and he looked at him and he said, Lord, you are the most important thing in my life. And Lord, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. Really? He knew he didn't deserve to be there. But he just asked. And what did the Lord say? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We know shortly after is when the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost. But This is what I wanted to get across tonight. I've already said it. I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'll sit down. You can acknowledge your sins, and if that's all you do, you'll never be in heaven. You can believe that Jesus died for sins, but if that's all you do, you'll never be in heaven. But we see the thief. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he deserved it. And he turned to the one, the only one, who could do anything about it, and that's Jesus. And the same is true for you. If you trust him, like we sang, he will save you.